on Straight Talk Africa, democracy and the rule of law in Uganda. Are Ugandan citizens with inalienable rights or subjects granted with privileges by an individual authority? Who are the real primary stakeholders in Uganda? That's coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. It's Wednesday, August 31st. I am Shaka Sali.
Well, hello to you, Shaka, and hello to all our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Mariama Diallo, your social media reporter.
Today, a report card on democracy and the rule of law in Uganda.
Well, so much to cover in this hour. Coming up later in our STA inbox, we'll share your thoughts on our topic. That's through your emails, tweets, and Facebook comments. That's ahead on Straight Talk Africa. Hope you'll stay with us.
Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni won a disputed election earlier this year in which his main opponent says should be subjected to an independent audit. My colleague Paul Sisko has more on the story.
Make no mistake, history is on the side.
U.S. President Barack Obama, July 11th, 2009.
Africa doesn't need strong men. It needs strong institutions.
Mr. Obama had a similar message for the African Union in 2015. It was the first ever address by an American president to the continental body.
We all know what the ingredients of real democracy are. They include free and fair elections, but also freedom of speech and the press, freedom of assembly. These rights are universal. They're written into African constitutions.
Despite the overwhelming approval of the American president's message, disputed, less than democratic elections took place most recently in Gabon and earlier this year in Uganda. European Union election observers report both the re-election of President Yoweri Museveni over opposition candidate Kizza Besigye and the vote in Gabon between incumbent President Ali Bongo and opposition candidate Jean Ping were lacking transparency. Edward Coogan is the European Union's chief elections observer in Uganda.
I saw myself the remarkable commitment of Ugandans to participate in their electoral process. Regrettably, the Electoral Commission failed to communicate effectively steps. According to our assessment, the Electoral Commission lacks independence, transparency, and the trust of the stakeholders.
Mariah Gabriel, head of the EU's electoral monitoring team in Gabon, praised the nation's voters.
I would like to congratulate Gabonese voters who expressed their democratic will in a process which was handled with a lack of transparency.
Supporters of both candidates in Gabon are claiming victory and fraud. The Electoral Commission says the incumbent has won in a close election. Jean Ping has called on President Bongo to acknowledge defeat and step down. Meanwhile, in Uganda, despite multiple accusations of voter fraud, ballot box interference, and media censorship, President Museveni remains in power. He has ruled the nation continuously for more than 30 years.
I, Kizza Besigye Chifefe.
On May 11th, Dr. Besigye's Forum for Democratic Change party declared him president one day before Museveni took the official presidential oath for the fifth time. Dr. Besigye has opposed and run against President Museveni four times, in 2001, 2006, 2011, and again this year.
Any swearing by Mr. Museveni is not a swearing by the Constitution of the Republic of Uganda, because he has not won an election.
Besigye has paid a heavy price for his determined opposition. He's been under house arrest, jailed, and beaten several times for what the government calls acts of treason and inciting the public. He was released on bail last month after months of detention following February's election. Dr. Besigye recently traveled to the United Kingdom and is now in the United States where he is primarily engaging and encouraging the diaspora to continue supporting the struggle for democracy in Uganda.
Africa's democratic progress is also at risk when leaders refuse to step aside when their terms end. Now, but the law is the law. And no one person is above the law, not even the president.
Paul Sisko, VOA News, Washington.
Thanks, Paul, for that interesting report. We expect to be joined here in our Washington studios by a distinguished guest called Colonel Dr. Kizza Besigye, a former Ugandan presidential candidate who we gather is stuck in the Washington traffic. And we're also expected to be joined via Skype from the Ugandan southwestern town of Mbarara, a Major General Kahinda Otafire, retired but certainly not tired, who is the current Ugandan Minister of Justice and Constitutional Affairs. But before we do that, of course, we do have our own reliable reporter here by the name Peter Kelote, host of the weekend, of course, Nightline Africa program. Thank you so much for joining us, Peter Kelote.
You're welcome, Shaka.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Terrific.
Wonderful.
But of course, not so much terrific, especially given that we did lose a very good man by the name Bob Long, of course, you know that.
Right.
Yeah. Well, later in the program, we will give you, the audience, a chance to call and talk with our guests. The number to call is 202-619-3111. Your country code is 1. Now, Peter, I know that you obviously have been monitoring the weekend elections in Gabon.
Right.
What is the latest update so far?
Well, the latest update is that there seemed to be some sporadic violence in parts of the capital following the announcement of the final results by the Minister of Interior in Gabon. And President Ali Bongo Ondimba won with 1.57% of the vote, which is less than 6,000%, because his actual figure was 49.80, and Jean Ping, his main challenger, came in second with 48.23 of the total vote cast. So it was narrow, 1.57, 5,594 votes, very narrow, the most competitive so far in Gabon.
Very interesting. To what extent would you say that the electoral process was free, fair, and credible?
Well, I spoke with Igor Siman, who is one of the special advisors of Bongo, and he told me the election was free despite the assessment of the European Union poll observer mission that says the election lacked transparency. Mm-hmm. He said they are very proud to accept the invitation of the European Union to come and monitor the election. And one of the reasons why they invited the European Union to monitor the election was, one, to monitor and to help the democratic process and journey that Gabon has taken so far, and that it wasn't only the European Union poll observers who came to monitor, and that you have the African Union, you have the Central African Monitoring Group, and other poll monitoring groups from all around the world, and that if it's only the European Union that has concluded that the election lacked transparency, others are saying that it has credibility, it was transparent, it was free, fair, and credible. That is what he told me.
Interesting. Of course, it was an election that was simply too close to call. Others might, in fact, call it a sort of political photo finish, if you will.
Well, so it was. And one of the key concern of the opposition, particularly, is with the ethnic vote. And the ethnic vote, you had an area known as, or a province known as Hotogwe, where the president comes from with his ethnic Teke. Ethnic group, yes. Hmm. And they had a percentage of about 98.97%, which approximately means every single one of those who registered to vote there voted. And one of their major concerns was that it was too calculated and usually statistically very difficult to achieve that higher number. So Ping is calling for a total recount of the vote, particularly in those regions, because he believed that once the audit is done, Hotogwe might not necessarily go to the president in that large amount, and that could bring him up to win the presidential election. By the way, he called on Odimba to step down and that he guarantees his freedom and there will be no witch hunting and all that. But it remains to be seen if he will be taken up on that.
Very interesting, Peter. But on the other hand, one might also say that Gabonese are very sophisticated in the sense that they are sincerely not necessarily loyal to their ethnic communities, because the last time I checked, Peter, Jean Ping, his father, is Chinese.
Indeed. Indeed. However, he also has a mother who is a Gabonese, and they believe that he did enough just to defeat Bongo, because he thought that Bongo has effectively not been good at, one, uniting the country despite repeated promises, and that all, despite all the country's wealth, he's not be able to transform it. Now, sadly, the strangest thing is that Ali Bongo ran on a change mandate, and he was the incumbent president.
Very interesting. I gather, Peter, that we are being joined by the Ugandan Minister for Justice and Constitutional Affairs, all the way via Skype from the Ugandan southwestern town of Mbarara. Good evening, Major General Kahinda Otafiri.
Good evening, Mr. Shaka Sari.
Well, I have to say that it is always a pleasure, General Otafiri, for me to get the opportunity to interact with you.
Thank you very much. I'm also pleased to interact with you.
Well, I'm sorry to tell you that your fellow panelist, Colonel Dr. Chiza Besigye, is apparently stuck in the Washington traffic, but we hope that he will be joining us momentarily.
Well, so they also have traffic in Washington?
Yes.
It was in Kampala only.
We sometimes, in fact, have what you would call the mother of all traffic jams.
Oh.
How are you?
I guess you'll get there. Time.
How is Mbarara?
Mbarara is fine.
It used to be a great town when I was a young man and doing a bit of my service around that particular area.
Yes.
And I don't know whether you are aware of the fact that we are obviously talking about democracy and the rule of law in Uganda. My first question to you would be, if you were, for example, to make an assessment on the scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest score and 0 being the lowest, how would you rate democracy in Uganda from your vantage point?
Well, Mr. Sasaka, as you know, I'm the steward of constitutionalism and rule of law in Uganda. I'm sorry to disappoint you. I can't be judging my own case.
But surely you have had a lot of... Go ahead.
And let those observers, judges. I really don't want to blow my own trumpet. Let the people, the observers and the voters in Uganda judge our performance.
What about the issue of human rights?
Well, you are very confident with our history. You know where we come from. You know how much we tried our level best to observe human rights. But in the performance of our duties, we use the tools we have on hand. That's the population, the people, the manpower we have. Changing manpower from a fascist and neo-fascist attitude to acceptance of and observance of human rights is a process. It does not happen overnight. We are doing our level best, albeit with a few pitfalls here and there, but I would say, like Winterby said, our situation is horrendous. No, it's not. We've done our very best.
Terrific. So basically what you are saying here, frankly, is that when it comes to the issue of human rights, it's not a matter of being an incident, nor an event. It is a process.
It's not a process. These are incidents that occur, and the incidents are a result of human failure. There are areas where sometimes the security forces have made mistakes, and we've recommended to security forces accordingly. We don't condone excesses. I'm on record for speaking out against the mistakes. Nonetheless, mistakes are human. There is no moving vehicle that does not raise dust. Only stationary vehicles don't raise dust. And when you take cognizance of our history, then you know what I'm talking about, Mr. Sakashari.
I see. Very good. You are tuned in to Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of a discussion in a moment. I think that we do have a wrong page. Now we'll pause for a short break, and we would like to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is now on the social networking website Twitter, and we are tweeting live. Follow us at VOA Shaka. That's VOA Shaka, and join in on today's discussion with your questions and comments. Don't forget to use the hashtag Uganda Democracy. And we are still on Facebook. Just enter the keyword Straight Talk Africa. Become a fan and connect with other friends of the Voice of America. We'll be right back with you, so please, don't go away.
I wanted to present music and a side of American culture that is most important to me, that is a part of who I am. They're going to get some incredible performances. That's one of the things I love, bringing these artists in so you can get to see them do what they do. It's soul music, and that's what music is. It's that which comes from the soul.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question. Keep your comment brief and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Gidhiri Uwat. And of course, this is Straight Talk Africa coming to you live from Washington. And here, of course, I have to say frankly that we are profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled. Once again, of course, to have the opportunity to host you, Colonel Dr. Kizza Besigye, a former Ugandan presidential candidate, not once, not twice, not three times. Guess what? Four times.
Thank you. It's always my pleasure to be here. And I have been here for quite a while. It's so funny that whenever I'm here, I'm always in some kind of trouble.
Really?
I was first here in 2001.
That is correct.
After the first time I contested. And as you know, I had just run away Uganda then. Well, I didn't run away this time, but I am a prisoner.
You are a prisoner.
I'm on way out on bail.
Well?
And glad to be here.
You are a prisoner. What about the rest of the Ugandan people? Are they free?
No, frankly not. In fact, when I was in prison, which I was until about a month ago, people who came to see me were telling me that the trending T-shirts in town then was that we are all prisoners.
Really?
And that's what they were telling me, that there was no difference between me who was inside and them who were outside. So that is unfortunately the situation in our country, I'm afraid.
It's very interesting because, you know, there is a very great and distinguished political prisoner who spent 27 and a half years under the apartheid conditions. I remember that once he said they negotiated his release, actually. At one point, they said, you know what? You are free to go back to Soweto. And he said, you know what? There's no way I can leave prison to go and live in a larger prison. Until, of course, everything is negotiated to the extent that we actually get real democracy.
And by the way, Shaka, talking about prison, you see, it is actually not a matter of just Uganda. I think what our people on the continent ought to realize is that we are simply going through a very painful decolonization process. Because frankly, all citizens of Africa lost citizenship when we were colonized.
But when we were colonized, we were not citizens, we were subjects.
Yes, well, we were at least, we were in different states of, ownership mm-hmm. of our areas, of our territories where we lived. Mm-hmm. Some were total subjects, some were not. Mm-hmm. And I know, the Bachiga where you come from were not entirely subjects, as you know.
They couldn't have been free.
but uniformly, even those who were making some of us subjects were also made subjects. So everybody on the continent became a subject.
Correct.
Whether you were a king, whether you were a commoner, mm-hmm. we all became mm-hmm. subjects of different capitals outside Africa. And that situation, frankly, hasn't changed.
It hasn't changed.
We only have different people in charge, but the situation remains exactly the same. Citizens have no power, have no rights, are not really involved in decision making, and they live at the pleasure of those who are supposed to be their leaders. And that is the thing that must change. And unless it changes, talking about these elections is talking about something that cannot happen. You cannot have, someone with absolute authority, absolute power, organizing an election to take away that power from him.
Very interesting. It will not happen. Why did you go to the bush back in 1981? I thought argued that someone had stolen an election.
Yes.
And that, in fact, your justification was to restore what you characterized as multi-party democracy.
Yes.
So what happened? You now have multi-party democracy in Uganda.
Well, what happened is actually that we succeeded. Mm-hmm. We indeed took up arms, fought, and removed a regime that we believed had usurped the power of the people. Mm-hmm. What clearly failed was the intention we had mm-hmm. of transferring power back to its legitimate place, the people of Uganda. And that, I'm afraid, will remain the case. Because, as you know, Uganda is a very classical case where, since independence, no leader has ever handed over power peacefully to another leader.
That's true.
So the only method of transferring power is guns. And that is instructive, because it means that power resides in the guns. You need guns to take power from these guns, and it goes to different guns, but it doesn't go to the people.
Very interesting. Major General Kahindo Tafire, are you there?
Yes, I am, and I'm listening.
What about you, my good brother? You, in fact, too, went to the bush. They called it well, yes, back in 1981 to do what?
Yes, sir.
What did you go to the bush to do?
I went to the bush to do transformation. And as far as I'm concerned, the question was not elections. The question was committing class suicide in order to liberate the people of Uganda mentally, physically, economically.
Speak a little louder, I can't hear you well.
I'm afraid we are having transmission problems via the Skype. I frankly don't seem to be understanding what you're saying. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, I hear you very clearly.
Yes, I was asking you, what was the justification for going to the bush? Wasn't it to restore what you characterize as multi-party democracy? And in fact, hasn't the Ugandan president at one time said, I brought you democracy?
When I went to the bush, mine was not what you think. I didn't romanticize struggle. I committed class suicide in order to liberate our people mentally, physically, economically, and socially. In the pursuit of this, democracy was one aspect of liberation. I went to fight the neo-colonial state that had been left behind by the colonialism. I went to fight in order to end the slave mentality of aping what is not ours. And it's a painful, painstaking process. It takes time. Like I told you before, the tools we use to transform society in Uganda is the population. That population has had varied history, traumatic history, and neocolonial orientation in many ways, philosophically, psychologically, socially, economically. That's why we have problems with the leadership that apes what we think is best in other areas, especially the West. You are trying to compare two systems that are not congruent, that travel parallels. If America is democratic, how come black people are being gunned down in broad daylight by state authorities? And there is apparent helplessness in stopping that phenomenon.
I see.
So my going to the bush was not about what you people call democracy. Mine was mental liberation, philosophical approach to the situation obtaining on the continent. And mine was not for Uganda only. Remember, Shaka, I'm the global chairman of the Pan-African movement, the global chairman of the Pan-African movement. Mine is a quest that is greater than the African province of Uganda.
I remember, of course, you were a very good buddy of my friend, the late Dr. Tajuddin Abdulrahim. Is that correct?
Yes, God bless his poor soul, his dead. It's not only Tajuddin. I have rubbed shoulders with the late Professor Abdurahman Babu, Karim Issa, and many, many other Pan-Africanists. Ours is an ideological struggle. It does not share romanticism of democratic practice. We don't romanticize revolution, no.
I see.
We need it.
I see. I think your point is well made, General Kahindo Tafide. Let me come back here in the studio. Dr. Besigye, we're talking about democracy, really, in Uganda and the rule of law. Let's look at a report card. You were not able to watch the package, but you were simply talking about pretty much the status of what democracy is or may not be in Uganda. On the scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, and zero being the lowest, how would you rate democracy in the context of democracy and rule of law in Uganda, and why?
Well, I wouldn't spend a lot of time trying to, you know, put a mark on that scale. But I think one just needs to look. And, you know, I'm happy that my brother Ndugu Tafire has been very clear about what it was the struggle we engaged in had been about. You know, the question of Ugandans having a having a stake in and making decisions that influence what goes on in the country is at the heart of all the things that he's talking about. You know, whether it's social, economic, whatever transformation, it must start with people having control over their country, having control over the institutions.
So has that happened so far?
Quite obviously not, and I'm sure he knows that. You cannot... you know, if he says he did not go to the bush because of an election in 19, 81, or the election of 90, following the election of 1980, then quite obviously he should have gone to the bush even much, much earlier. But the thing is that after independence, there was hope that indeed people would exercise the power that had been taken away from them. In any case, they had more or less been given the view that they could elect their leaders. But, you know, what has been happening now, and I'm sure Ndugu Otafire knows, that the citizens whom he has been seeing being beaten at will by people who are supposed to protect them, if those are the owners of the country that you are, you know, clobbering and sometimes shooting wantonly and killing, are the ones who are supposed to be making decisions and managing institutions of their country. It's a joke.
So what if somebody says perhaps, in fact, the political elite in Uganda may, in fact, have accomplished that goal?
Accomplished the goal of...
The goal that which was supposed, of course, to reflect the liberation of the ordinary
Ugandan
citizens.
Of course. What happened, and this is the point that a central point behind the processes in Africa, because, mark you, all the conflicts in Africa are internal conflicts.
Well, unfortunately, the message is there is no democracy in Studio 52 if the producer says, you go, you have to go just like a good soldier. You are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of a discussion in a moment. But first, here is Mariama Jaro. Take it away, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. Still to come, we'll reveal some of the feedback we've received from our audience through social media. Stay with us.
Today's youth are not just the next generation of African leaders, they are today's leaders. And this is the time to invest in them, today, not tomorrow. So let's connect, let's engage with each other on issues that will transform our societies.
Innovation, leadership, entrepreneurship, things that you're doing to move the continent forward to make you the greatest generation that Africa has known.
It's Upfront every Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
This is Straight Talk Africa on The Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number is 202-619-3111 and the U.S. country code is 1. Call us direct and we'll call you right back. Remember to turn down the volume on your radio or television and keep your comments brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Gizu Yuwat. And of course, you are welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, live from Washington. Once again, it's time to bring in my colleague and social media reporter, Mariama. Take it away again, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. In February, President Yoweri Museveni extended his 30-year grip on power in Uganda despite a massive outcry from the opposition and some in the international community. Opposition leader Kizza Besigye, who's here today, we're happy to host him, and who's had countless arrests, insist he won the presidential election. According to the country's official results, Museveni won with over 60% of the votes. A country that doesn't have term limits does have age limit, and Museveni, who's 71 right now, would technically not be qualified to run again in 2021. But that's a long way, and so much can happen between now and then. This leads us to our question of the week, which asks, what can be done to ensure that democratic principles are being upheld in Uganda? Well, starting off the conversation is one of our followers in Nigeria in our letter of the week.
Yahya Ahmed Gumel from Jigawa in Nigeria writes, democratic principles can only be upheld in Uganda when Ugandans fully understand and take the ownership of their struggle for free and fair elections, good governance, and the rule of law. Ugandan civil society and democratic institutions should collaborate to rescue the nation from the firm grip from political demagogues whose words are never met with actions.
Well, that was Yahya Ahmed Gumel in Jigawa, Nigeria. Thanks again, everyone, for using all our social media platforms to communicate to us. Before we move on to more comments, just a quick reminder that we are tweeting live today. Just use the hashtag UgandaDemocracy. And if you haven't yet, do follow us on Twitter. Speaking of it, let's go to a tweet from Edgar Kawa, who writes, most likely the independent, in quotes, he put, electoral commission will select for them, as it is usually the case in most African countries. Well, another tweet, this time from Emmanuel Kachele, points out that democratic principles in Uganda can only be upheld if Ugandans say no to dateless presidencies and nepotism. One final tweet from Peter Isaac says that better management of elections, elections observers from United Nations and also country constitution be followed. Well, now to a comment from a Facebook follower this time. His name is Mani Alcado Kasi from Panda, Tanzania, who writes, when I see Africa, I see no hope for democracy and tranquility. The only way to ensure the implementation of democratic principles, in Uganda, is to be democratic. And that is the thing Africa and its incumbent leaders will not take into consideration. Voters are becoming poorer, and the relatives of leaders are increasingly sharing the national cake. Well, that's quite a colorful comment here, Shaka and guests. What do you make of all these opinions expressed by our audience?
Very interesting. The good General Kahinda Otafide, your reaction to that, please.
You see, where we differ is your definition of democracy. For quite a number of elite in Africa, their view of democracy is elitist. It's periodic participation in elections. As far as I'm concerned, democracy is participation. All through, from top to bottom, especially at grassroots. I don't care who is president of Uganda. For as long as the LOC won, that local council won, determines how it does its work. The president supervises, superintends over a system. If it's democratic, it means the citizens are participating in day-to-day management of the affairs. When they are happy in their localities and communities, then the country will be stable. What is happening in Africa generally is contest for power and authority by the elite. And that elitist view of democracy does not augur well for this continent. Take care of the people. Take care of the people, and the nation will take care of itself. So when you say, unless, you know, we manage our elections properly, what about popular participation by the population on a daily basis in the process of managing their lives?
So basically, if I heard you correctly, General Kahinda Otafide, frankly, you are comfortable with the definition of democracy as being a government of some people, by some people, for some people, of which, of course, you are part of, the elite.
No. That's your definition. That's not my definition. That's what the elite in Africa is trying to rein us into. They are trying to squeeze us into, well, that's very different. Some of us are saying, no, democracy is order. Ideologically, for me, democracy is the population managing its own affairs.
I hear you, General. I hear you. And let's go back to Mariama for more audience reaction, please.
Well, let's look at a Facebook comment from Prince Nukula Herbert Wairagara Jr. I think I got his name all in. He's from Kampala, and he writes that Ugandans need to rise up and demand the respect of democratic principles. because the current leadership does not seem to want to provide it. Let's take a look at another comment while we are there, this time from Goa Suspranic from Monrovia in Liberia, who says that Uganda is a presidential republic in which the president of Uganda is both the head of state and head of government. There is a multi-party system. The executive power is exercised by the government. The Ugandan president is elected by a popular vote for a five-year term. These are all products of democracy. The head of state needs to uphold the things that I have outlined. Well, that's a very interesting posting from Goa. Once again, Shaken, guess your thoughts on this.
Your reaction, the good doctor.
Well, first of all, maybe to react to the last comment about there being a republic with a president that is elected every 5 years. Yes, that's true. But the question is, elected by who?
You have periodic elections, don't you?
Yes.
But what type of elections are they?
You see, these comments actually are very good that they come out in respect of Uganda, because the Ugandan leader now, I don't call him president because I don't think he is.
Why?
Because you become president through a process that he has not gone through. He became president by using guns. He did not become president through an election. He became a president by waging war and taking the reins of power by force.
But what about since 1996?
Yes. And so he went to war precisely for the point you talked about, that elections were meaningless because there had been an election in which he had participated. And he said, this election is meaningless. The institutions are meaningless. Because if he had respected, for example, parliament, that parliament can change the system, he would have gone to parliament. Parliament would have maybe carried out reforms. But the institutions, you see, what we are talking about, which is the point I made at the beginning, where power is controlled by a handful of people using the force of coercion, all institutions of state are controlled by individuals. And this is why the point Mr. Otafire makes is redundant, because you cannot talk about citizens participating when they don't control institutions.
But Chizabesije,
because they participate through what?
Chizabesije.
How do those people, he calls the people in the villages, how do they control resources?
But Chizabesije,
who distributes the resources in the country?
Chizabesije, in 2005.
Yes.
The Ugandan government changed the constitution, essentially lifting term limits.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
And of course, going for what some would characterize as a presidential monarch.
Yes.
But when the president was taken task on that, President Museveni said he succumbed to pressure. So which pressure must he have been talking about? Obviously, he must have been talking about the Ugandan people.
Yes, but you see, if there was any kind of pressure from the Ugandan people, you would not need to use force to keep the people down.
Or to facilitate the members of parliament in order to change
absolutely, the constitution? Or to pay money to members of parliament, not only paying, but coercion, actually coercing others, because you remember they had to lift the rules, change the rules of parliament so that they could vote by show of hands. He could not trust that even after paying them, they could vote secretly and do what he wanted.
I'm afraid time is not our best ally, but we shall continue with the discussion. Thanks, Mariama, for bringing us this week's audience reaction.
Well, that will do it for today's social media segment. Just a reminder that we appreciate all the feedback, whether it's in social media form or using other means to communicate to us. Please keep them coming. If you are a new fan, just drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. Once again, our email address is africatv@voanews.com. Or post your comment on our Facebook page. Just enter the keywords Straight Talk Africa. Be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com, or you can join our YouTube channel. Sign up to VOA TV to Africa. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter @VOAShaka. Another reminder that the show is streaming live every Wednesday. Just go to the VOA Straight Talk Africa TV program page on our website or simply watch us live on your mobile device. Just download the VOA mobile app. Now, let's take a look at what's on tap for next week's program.
Next week on Straight Talk Africa, Choosing the Hero, My Improbable Journey and the Rise of Africa's First Woman President. Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, the 2012 Nobel Peace Prize winner and president of Liberia, is a subject of a new book by River Levinson, an in-depth discussion on the life and career of Ellen Johnson Sirleaf is next week, right here on Straight Talk Africa.
Welcome back, and today, of course, we are talking about democracy and rule of law in Uganda. Our distinguished guests are Dr. Chiza Besigye, a former Ugandan presidential candidate, and retired Major General Kahinda Otafire, the Ugandan Minister of Justice and Constitutional Affairs. He joins us via Skype from the Ugandan southwestern town of Mbarara. Gentlemen, I have to say that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the two of you on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Shaka.
You're most welcome. Let me come to you, General. General Kahinda Otafire, let me ask you this question. As Minister of Justice, how do you respond to critics and especially human rights groups, both local and international, who accuse the government for governing a society that suffers from what they characterize as a deficit of social economic justice?
Well, first of all, I don't understand what they're trying to tell me. I happen to be Minister responsible for Justice and Constitutional Affairs, and therefore steward of observers of human rights, and indeed, I have the Uganda Human Rights Commission within the ministry, and I get feedback from what transpires within the country. Like I said in the beginning, our society has been traumatized. It's come through a painful process of change. We as a government are doing our level best to ensure observance of human rights. I didn't say we are 100%. Okay, no. And I don't know how many societies on earth, in this planet, can claim to be 100%. If the societies we emulate were perfect, there wouldn't be any Guantanamos.
Yes.
There wouldn't be any outcries in the certain places I don't want to talk about. The fact that these situations arise means that everybody in the process of observance of human rights is dictated by what we call realpolitik, the objective conditions obtaining on the ground and in the country. Take, for example, we have an election. It's conducted by the Electoral Commission. The election is concluded. The Electoral Commission says President Museveni has won.
An electoral commission that, of course, critics say is partisan.
And my good brother, Dr. Chiza Besigye, says, no, he didn't win. He says we are going to have a program of defiance. Of course, he is entitled to demonstration. He's entitled to manifestation.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, General Tafire. Unfortunately... Unfortunately, the time happens not to be a bestseller. I have to go to the lifeline of the show, which are the telephone callers. Let me go to Ghana. Good evening, Tafa. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Hello, good evening, Shaka.
Terrific. How are you?
I'm great, Shaka. What about you, sir?
Well, what is your question, Tafa?
Shaka, I have a few comments to make about your guest.
You have a minute. You have a minute, Tafa. A minute, please.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let me commend Dr. Kizza Besigye. He's one of the few opposition leaders I have a lot of respect for. Because considering the nature of the Ugandan leader, we all know that in Uganda there's no democracy. And you have somebody like him fighting for democracy. We should continue until the Ugandan people are free. Because when you look at what's happening in Uganda, Uganda has a very good people, intellectuals like you people. But your president is embarrassing Uganda and Africa as a whole. So I will appeal to him, he should continue. Africa is behind him. We are behind him. We continue to pray for him. So that Africa, number one tyrant dictator, will remove his power. Have a good evening, Shaka. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Let's go to Suleiman in South Africa. Good evening, Suleiman. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa. Suleiman, are you there? Are you there, Suleiman? I'm afraid I cannot hear Suleiman. What about Eamon from Uganda?
I'm the Colonel Dr. Kizalis Gifford, the Minister of Justice and Constitutional Affairs in Uganda. This is Eamon Kanwansa from Uganda. My question here, I would like also to talk about the issue of, you know, about the human rights and democracy in Uganda. Of course, since we had elections in Cuba, what had happened is chosen that since independence up to now, we have never practiced democracy. Whereby Colonel Dr. Kizan, who is trying to make his first attempt to Ugandan State House, has been arrested for several times. So I think Uganda and the entire Africa, we have a problem of an human rights. Because when we find that some people are treated like animals, are treated like people who cannot even live in their country. So I think it is a problem in Uganda. We need to have a great prayer for Ugandans under the democracy.
Thank you. Thank you. I think your point is well made. Let me come to you, Colonel Dr. Chiza Besigye. You stated before February 2016 general elections that you wouldn't participate in any poll if fundamental electoral reforms hadn't been carried out. Why did you participate in an exercise that you knew was flawed?
Yes, because as I told you, the struggle at hand is really not for choosing a leader. The struggle at hand is really a liberation struggle. A struggle to change power, distribute power, to take power from the hands of few to the hands of the majority. And that struggle can be advanced through different processes. An election can be a good opportunity. That's why in the last election we said we are going this election to win not just by campaigning and
you
voting,
campaign via defiance.
But to win by defiance. And what we mean by defiance is that the people of we awaken the people of Uganda to do what they need to do to defy the injustice that is there, including the injustices in the election, because the election is patently unjust. The electoral commission that organizes it is a walking stick of Mr. Museveni. The security institutions that are supposed to ensure security and stability are enforcers of Mr. Museveni's will, and so on and so forth. So we had to defy all these in order to win. And let me...
But don't you remember the words of Nobel laureate Albert Einstein, who once said that if you keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, it must be a sort of insanity.
Happily, it cannot be the same thing because the results are different.
How are they different?
Let me tell you, and all our listeners and viewers
Time
out
is not
there,
a bestseller, Mr. Besigye. Go ahead.
Uganda is different now. The people of Uganda are awake. And that is why, indeed, in the last election, we won by defiance. What may not be known to people who are outside Uganda is that this time around, Mr. Museveni did not steal the vote. He used guns to overthrow the will of the people of Uganda. We have evidence still in my possession, and which we have been demanding for an opportunity to present to the public in an internationally supervised audit, evidence to show that we won the election by 52%. We have that evidence in hand.
Unfortunately.
And happily, the people of Uganda are saying we shall not allow Mr. Museveni to usurp our power this time.
Unfortunately.
And I am confident that Mr. Museveni may have sworn himself in, but he's not going to exert his will as he has been doing before over our people. Our people are awake. All those who are listening know that Uganda is going to be a trailblazer for actually what happens in people regaining their power that they lost very many years ago.
You know, I would have liked to ask a question to the Ugandan minister, but unfortunately, time is not our best ally. I was wondering if there is such a thing as rule of law. Why is it that often some police officers, when they arrest some victims, they actually say they're acting on orders from above, not the law of the land? But unfortunately, time is not our best ally. And for that, I would like to say, before we go, I would be remiss if I didn't acknowledge the passing of my friend and VOA colleague, Bob Long, a giant television journalist and mentor who died last weekend. Bob, affectionately known to some of us as Captain Bob, served in the U.S. Marines before becoming a journalist of note. I shall always remember him for having taught and encouraged me to be the best broadcast journalist that I could be by remaining authentically the kid from Kabale, southwestern Uganda. Our prayers go to his family, and may his soul rest in eternal peace. On that note, thanks to our distinguished guests, Dr. Kizza Besigye, a former Ugandan presidential candidate, and retired Major General Kahinda Otafiire, the Ugandan Minister of Justice and Constitutional Affairs. He joined us live via Skype from the Ugandan southwestern town of Mbarara. Thanks to our affiliate stations, along with our viewers and listeners, we thank you for tuning in. For many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, Learning English is coming up next, and tomorrow morning, it's Daybreak Africa with James Bate. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning into Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not bitter, Uganda. And please remember to keep the African hopes alive.